Father, thank you for the reminder this morning to just come back to the heart of worship. The heart of worship is you, Lord. Nothing else, just giving you praise and the worth that you're due. Father, I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your goodness to us. I pray now that as we open your word, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage and convict whatever is necessary to draw us deeper into intimacy with you. Whether we know you or not, God, would you draw us deeper, closer to you? God, as I say often, I say again, would you take a feeble attempt on my part of making much about Jesus and exalt him as the greatest through your word, by your spirit? We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone who agrees says, amen. Thank you all. All right, if you have your Bibles, Job chapter 38. We're going to be flying through chapters 38 through 42 this morning. Now, there's a whole, there's a massive section of Job that we've had to skip, but it's pretty much him working out this whole problem that he's been going through. And all this adversity or this season that's so difficult, he's having to work through it. There is a part at the end of chapter 2 where his three friends show up, and they show up and they see how bad he has it. And so what they do is they just simply sit with him for 7 days. They don't say a word. They're just sitting there, and not really encouraged, just to be there with him. And then the rest of the chapters, all the way up through chapter 38, they open their mouths. And that's kind of where they got into trouble. Because they were saying things like, hey, if you would just confess your sin, then God would make this all right. They had it wrong. And you would even see later in Job 42 where God looks at his friend or looks at Job's friends and says, why don't you have Job pray for you? Because I'm not going to listen to you. Because they were so bad at the advice that they were giving to Job. So it's Job. And Job, you'll see him just kind of expressing things and getting frustrated and not understanding, but at least he's speaking it and getting it out of him. But then we get to chapter 38. And this is where it gets a little, you kind of sit there and go, wow, this is how God responded to him. Chapter 38, verse 1. The Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Now, maybe some of you guys, does anybody here have a translation that says, out of the storm? Does anybody have that translation? Yeah. That God answered Job out of the storm. You sit there and go, uh-oh, like, this seems like it's going to be pretty bad. And he said, who is this who obscures my counsel with ignorant words? In other words, he's like, who's the dumb guy in my presence? Who's the guy that's speaking stupid things in my presence? I mean, he just goes after him. Friends, out of the storm, whenever I think of the word storm, has anyone ever been, how many of you like thunderstorms? Anybody like thunderstorms? I love thunderstorms. I mean, the louder, the better, the brighter, like lightning hit him, just like, yeah. But in Southern California, we don't get a ton. I don't know where y'all are from, but down there, hardly any. It's like right where we live, it might happen around you somewhere, but very rarely where I live. But I remember being back in Kansas one summer. It's for my, I think it's my wife's nanny's funeral, I think it was during that time. And there was this massive thunderstorm that came through Kansas. And so here I am, Southern California guy, and it starts up. I mean, I go down and they lived, Kelly's nanny and Pappy were together for 64 years. Uncomfortably flirty after 64 years. Like, I remember the first time I met Nanny and Pappy, we were dating, or Kelly and I were dating. I wasn't dating the parent grandparents. Kelly and I were dating. And I remember I walked, Nanny opened the door. I was at Kelly's parents' house in the Central Valley, Atwater. Anybody know where Atwater's at? Okay, so that's where my father-in-law still lives there. She opens the door. She's like tiny. Introduces herself, so sweet. Her husband, they call her Pappy. He, super, super cool guy. And then there's tons of chairs in the room. And Nanny went over and sat on his lap. And I remember sitting there going, there are a lot of chairs here. You guys are acting like high schoolers that, like, you just got to know. Like, this is still love and crazy love. But that's how they were. And they lived in this 600-square-foot apartment, their whole marriage, above a Hallmark store that they ran and owned in a 600-person town called Centralia, Kansas. And then right across the street, he owned this Goodyear tire shop. And so I remember running downstairs, looking through the Hallmark front door, all glass, looking, and I see bolts just going sideways. And then so I ran outside, And I stood in the middle of the street because there's only 600 people in town. No one ever drove on them. So I'm just standing there in the middle of the storm. Can you imagine all the people from Kansas going, that guy must be from California. What an idiot. Like, I'm just staring. I'm like, this is amazing. And then I found out that the lightning hit a barn not too far behind where we were and lit it on fire. And I felt bad for them, but I'm like, how cool is that? I'm, again, I feel bad for the barn, but I was so jacked because you're just seeing all this stuff because it just reminds me of something. I'm not that big. I'm not that powerful. But there's a difference when God answers you from it. This wasn't him just meeting Job in his difficult time. God brought the storm, which was himself. And he says, you brace it. And he says, verse 3, you get ready to answer me like a man. When I question you, you will inform me. You're like, dang. Guys, has anyone here ever had that oh no moment with one of your parents? Or that oh no, you know what I'm talking about? Like maybe you said something a little too far and then you go, oh no. I remember I was about 17 or so. I told my buddy to meet me, I think it was at 10 at night. They were going to drive to his house. It wasn't too far from where we were. But he showed up at 9, and I wasn't home yet. So my dad, okay, let me try to paint the picture of who my dad is. My dad is a Vietnam vet, was shot by a guy with an AK-47. 9 bullets went through his body, and he lived. Then he went from that to become a cop. So I seriously, my dad is RoboCop. Like, it's kind of like when kids go, my dad could beat up your dad. I'm like, shut up. My dad was shot and he lived. You're stupid. And so it's like always this competition. So that's my dad. My dad is huge on honor, integrity. Your word is your bond. I mean, he is massive on that. So my friend's there. My friend didn't say that he was early. My friend got it wrong. He thought I said 9. I said 10. He shows up at the 9. And then about 9:45, he left. Kind of like I failed. So I roll in about, I don't know, 5 minutes after he left. As I go in, my dad is sitting in his chair and he says this, young man, you need to sit down. And I went, what did I do? Because I'm not going to confess, because what if what I confess isn't the thing that he's thinking? So I'm not going to say that. So I just sit down. He goes, why do you think that we need to have a chat? He's like, I'm not going to answer that. I don't know. You tell me, Dad, inform me. And so he starts going through the whole thing. When you tell someone to be there on time, go to starts going through his thing. Now, the thing is with Dad, you don't sass him. Now, I love him. I honor him. He's amazing. There's not a guy that loves me more than my dad, but he's also a strong guy. And especially never talk back to mom. Now, some of you guys may have a PhD in that. You might want to pull back from that because I don't think God thinks that's impressive. So just don't sass. You just listen, and then you get to share when it's time. And so all of a sudden, he's still going and going and going. He got volume 1, put that thing aside. Next lecture, volume 2. He just keeps going and going. And all of a sudden, I just couldn't take it anymore. I'm just sitting there, and I said, why don't you get off my back? And I wish I could have sucked words back in. Like, they flowed out of my mouth, and I was like, I hope he doesn't hear. And he looks at me, kind of like this look on his face. He's like, huh. And I remember he stood up. Slowly, it was like, go, go, go. And I'm just sitting there going, my life is passing before my eyes. Like, this is it. I'm going to see the Lord today. And he looks at me and he points at me. Now, in my head, I saw a gun. And I know it wasn't a gun, but he points at me. This is all he says. He says, young man, I haven't begun to get on your back yet. And then he went to bed. That's all he said to me. I'm sitting there, wet myself. Oh, my gosh. And he just goes. I'm sitting there going, is he going to leave me hanging? He went to sleep. Guys, I slept horrible that night. You know why? Because I pictured, middle of the night, all of a sudden the door kicks on. Bam! He's standing over my bed with his .357. Now I'm on your back, boy. Like, that's what I pictured. He was just going to come with fury. He never did. It was kind of like it was over. Guys, that's what I picture when it says that God showed up in the whirlwind. And then he says, you brace yourself like a man. I'll ask the questions and you'll answer me. He said, I go, why do you get so mad? Go back a couple chapters to chapter 31. Chapter 31, verse 35. This is Job speaking. And he says this, if only I had someone to hear my case. Here is my signature. Let the Almighty answer me. That's like him saying, I've done nothing. Let God answer me. I've got some questions. Then you keep going. Verse 30. Keep going, 35. Let my opponent compose his indictment. I would surely carry it on my shoulder, wear it like a crown. I would give him an account of all my steps. I would approach him like a prince. He's like, I haven't done anything. I've done nothing wrong. It's almost like, not that we're equals, but okay, God, you're almighty, but I could come before you like a prince. And then God shows up and says, you brace yourself like a man. I'll ask the questions. You're going to answer me. And then he just starts to tear into him. Verse 4, where were you? Back in 38. Where were you when I established the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who fixed its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? What supports its foundations, or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God, or these angels, shouted for joy? Where were you when I did that, Job? How would you answer that? I don't know. I wasn't here. Who enclosed the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and total darkness its blanket? When I determined its boundaries and put its bars and doors in place? When I declared, you may come this far, no farther. Your proud waves stop here. And then verse 12, have you ever commanded in your life, have you ever in your life commanded the morning? How many of you people are not morning people? You're not morning people. Like noon for you is morning, yeah? How many are the morning people? This is me. I'm a morning person now. So for those of you, if God comes up to you, you're not a morning person. Hey, when have you commanded the morning? This is like your alarm goes off. You're like, I'm commanding the morning. Snooze. Go away. Like that's you commanding the morning. Here comes God going, I caused the sun to rise. When is the last time, Job, you did that? Can you tell the morning what to do and when to arrive? So you're seriously going to tell me, let the Almighty answer me. I've got some questions. He goes from that and he keeps going. You get to verse 16. Have you traveled to the sources of the sea or walked in the depths of the ocean? How many of you guys are beach lovers or the ocean? You just love the ocean. How many of you are freaked out by the ocean? I'm freaked out by the ocean. And I think a lot of us are. You ever been to the beach and you're just kind of wading in the water? And you're just playing, and then a piece of seaweed comes just kind of by, you know what I'm talking about? You're just sitting there just loving life, like, this is great. And then it just gets like, what? And you freak out, you're running because it's the Loch Ness Monster ready to suck your soul out of your body, you know? And it was a piece of seaweed that's just brushed your calf. And here comes God going, have you ever walked at the bottom of the sea? Have you ever just taken a stroll in the bottom of the ocean to see what's there? Job, you've never done that? He goes, verse 19, where's the road to the home of light? I don't even know what that is. And he's like, where's the road to it? I don't know. And then God gets sarcastic. Verse 21, who has a gift of sarcasm? Anybody a trash talker in here? Yeah, I got a little bit of it in me. I got to let it go a little bit more than I do. But sometimes it comes flying out. Glad to know I still got it. Verse 21, here's God's sarcasm. Look at it. He says, don't you know? You were already born. You've lived so long. It's like God looks, come on, Job, tell me. You're like 50. I'm eternal. Of course you know. You've been around here for so long. Verse 31, can you fasten the chains of the Pleiades or loosen the belts of Orion? So he's talking about the stars that are in the sky. Can you bring out the constellation, their season, lead the bear and her cubs? Do you know the laws of heaven? Do you know how the heavens work? He doesn't even know that there's something called a nebula or a black hole out there. He has no clue. He's like, do you understand this? Can you impose its authority on earth? Can you command the clouds? Can you send out lightning bolts? He's like, can you do any of this? And friends, moment after moment, he just keeps pounding him. Who put, verse 36, who put wisdom in the heart or gave the mind understanding? I kind of brought it up last night. Guys, it's not just the things that we see that God created. It's the things that we don't see. Remember I said last night, God is the creator of what? Humor, laughter. Friends, you ever laugh so hard that you thought your stomach was going to explode right there? Isn't it great, but doesn't it hurt like crazy? So then you start begging. It's like, stop. Because it's like the best ab workout ever. Like you're laughing so hard, you're growing abs on your back. It is just so, like it's so funny. But here's the thing. You ever been in mixed company? Like guys and gals hanging together. Ladies, if this ever happens, if you're like laughing so hard, guys are getting you crazy, and you start listening, you go, hey, okay, stop. If you don't stop, I'm going to pee my pants. Friends, ladies, when you say that in front of a group of guys, every guy is thinking this once they hear that statement. Challenge accepted. Every single guy is thinking, yep, I know what we're going to be doing. Guys, if I'm telling the truth, just say amen. Every single, it's like, yep, yep. When I hear that, yep, it's like blood for a shark. You just like, go for it. But isn't it just fun to laugh? You ever notice how many different types of laughter there are? It's like some people have that laugh you want to listen to. It's like, try to make them laugh because it feels like a koala bear is massaging your soul. It's just like, it just feels good, right? You ever watch like little kids, like a one-year-old on YouTube laugh? I mean, you just sit there and it gets your heart going. And then you watch the darkness of people's souls in the comments. It's like, oh, that's cute, that's cute. Why is that baby so ugly? It's like, why is your soul dead? It's like so weird. You know what I'm talking about? We're so brave on a screen, but we're so wussy in front of each other. So they have those, like you have people just have this incredible laugh. And then you have those other people that when they laugh, it's like demons leaving a body. They start to laugh, and your eardrums are beginning to burst, and blood is pouring down your head. It's just like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Can you imagine if we all had the same laugh? Okay, let's try this. So there's always one of you that messes this up, so don't be that person. But here we go. On the count of three, everyone's going to do this. Now, if you sit there and go, I don't want to do it, it's too early, that's fine. You'll miss out on the joy. But the rest of us, guys, on the count of three, everyone just goes, ha, 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 and then goes silent. There'll always be one that goes, heh, okay, so I'm just going to steal your thunder real quick. But here we go. On the count of three, ha, ha, ha. Ready? One, two, three. There it is. Okay, that's what I thought. Thank you. I stole your thunder, but you got a little bit of it. That's great. You got it. Guys, can you imagine if that's all it was every time it happened? Ha, ha, ha. And that's all. But here God gives us laughter for our enjoyment. It's just fun. Guys, if I don't laugh today, I'm not going to die. It's not a necessity. It's not like air. It's not like breathing. But even with that, we don't even tell ourselves to breathe. We think we're in control, but we don't say inhale. Can you imagine that's your whole existence? Inhale, exhale. And how would you sleep? You just wear earphones and it just says it. But what if you run out of batteries? All of a sudden you forget to breathe and you die in your sleep. Happens all the time. But we don't tell our body to do anything. It just works. How about taste buds? Can you imagine if there were no taste buds? Can you imagine? We just fed ourselves, everything tasted blah. But when you sit there and that double-doubles in your face, and somebody sitting there going, I'm vegetarian. I'm so thankful because it gives us more beef. Thank you. So here it is. And then when you're done, what do you do with the paper? My prayer is that you suck off the cheese. That's dessert, friends. You just start sucking on the cheese. You're like, yeah, this is good. Guys, do you realize that God gave us taste buds for what purpose? Nailed it. For our enjoyment. Guys, God created music. He created the arts. Who loves the arts? Who are the artists in the place? Friends, continue to use your arts to the glory of God. Look at what it is that God created. Do you ever just look at a sunset sometime and go, dang. That's not one word I could come up with. Are you kidding me? And God's like, I do it every day. Every sunrise, he creates. He's still creatively creating. Friends, he's incredible, but you're creative because God's creative. He is the most creative creator ever. So use your creative gifts to the glory of God because he loves it when we do. Guys, he came up with the concept of knowledge. He created wisdom for us. Now he's looking at Job saying, you're really going to question my wisdom? Like you think you know what wisdom is because it doesn't make sense to you, therefore I'm wrong? And then he goes from these big concepts and then chapter 39, verse 1. Do you know when mountain goats give birth? That's random. It's like stars, constellations, planets, spinning, massive, massive, massive. Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Well, that's kind of a curveball there, God. No. How about now? Nope, missed it. Oh, crud.
Then he goes even more detail. Have you watched the deer in labor? Just sat there and watched a deer give birth? Nope, haven't done that either. Can you count the months they are pregnant so you know, so you can know the time they give birth? God's sitting there going, I know it all. Guys, think about it. God knows when every single creature on the planet is pregnant, how long it's going to take and be there for every birth. He's like, can you do any of this? I mean, any of this, God, or Job, can you handle any of this? He goes from that, starts talking about donkeys, oxen, ostriches, horses, hawks. And then you get to chapter 40. We get chapter 40, starting verse 1. The Lord answered Job, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who argues with God give him an answer. And then he gets quiet. So for two chapters, God has been unloading on him. And you get to chapter 40, verse 3. Then Job answered the Lord, I am so insignificant. How can I answer you? I place my hand over my mouth. I have spoken once. I will not reply twice. But now I can add nothing. Guys, I'm going to be honest. That is a solid apology. Isn't that solid? It's like, I've got nothing else to say. Like, what am I going to say? I've spoken once. I'm done. I'll put my hand over my mouth. Twice, you'll never hear from me again. No. I'm so sorry. And you would think of that moment, God would come up and just go, come here. You did a good job. You did a good job. Nope. What's it say in the next verse? Verse 6. Then the Lord answered Job, what? According to your translation, out of the storm or from the whirlwind. He's like, part two. Here it comes. He goes right back into it. Get ready to answer me like a man. When I question you, you will inform me. And then here's that verse that I talked about when I got in the parking lot. When I heard my wife had cancer, I drove and I got in the next parking lot and I'm ticked. And this is the verse that came to my mind. Would you really challenge my justice? Would you declare me guilty to justify yourself? Friends, do we ever do that? Do we ever look at God and say, you're wrong because of what I think and feel, and this is who I declare myself to be. And so since you may be against those things, you're wrong. And God's going to sit there and go, you're really going to do that? You're really going to make sure that you sound right, so you're going to condemn me as if I'm wrong? Friends, God has never been wrong. He's never unjust. He's always righteous. What he says is for our good. Remember the commandments that he gives us is from a father to us as his kids, because he adores us and loves us. He wants to increase our joy, not take from it. But he sets up what it is that he wants to set up for us. I wonder how many here, and I think all of us can say this. At times we get duped, don't we? We believe the lies. We believe the temptations. We fall into the temptations. We believe the lies that others are saying that go against the scripture, because you get enough people, especially if they're cool, and you can sit there and listen to what they're saying, go, okay, now I agree with you. Now you're making more sense. But we're not going back to what the Word of God says. We start to believe other people more than God, and yet God is the one who's full of, he is love. There is no love outside of God. He is fully gracious and merciful and forgiving, and he is just and right and perfect. And friends, there is no one ever who will love you like God has. And I feel like we live in a time, not just now, but just our world for it, since the fall, we've made love into what do I get out of people rather than me self-sacrificing and always giving to the needs of others. Friends, love is not a, oh my goodness, here we go. Ready? I wasn't even going to talk about this. When people go, I'm so in love with someone. Guys, that's such a great feeling. But I didn't stand on the vow. I didn't stand on the altar before my wife and vow a feeling because I can't keep a feeling going. That's not what you don't vow a feeling. You vow to love. Love is what? Patient and kind. It doesn't envy, doesn't boast. It's not self-seeking. It doesn't rejoice in wrong, but rejoices in the what? Truth. Do you realize that if you don't believe in truth, then you don't love well? In order to love someone, you actually have to believe that there is truth, and yet we live in a society and a culture that says that everything's relative. You live your truth, right? Isn't that what it is? Live your truth. live your truth. But what if your truth contradicts mine? What if my truth means I can take advantage of you? You can't fight my truth because that's my truth. Do you realize the only thing that comes from relativistic truth is chaos and anarchy? It's oppression of people. And here comes God. How do you know? Guys, love is not what can I get from people. The gospel tells us this, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave. It was for others to be generous. It's me giving of myself, me sacrificing, laying aside everything for the betterment of my wife or my family or those that God's entrusted to me, and even my enemies. Guys, do you realize in the scripture, I'm called to love, agape my wife, and then Jesus says, I want you to love, agape your enemies. It's the same word. It's the same Greek word. It can't be driven by a feeling or emotion, and yet we're so driven by them rather than, here's what God says, I want to obey because I love him and he loves me. I want to honor him. I'll do what he says because I trust him. So when he gets to verse 8, would you really challenge my justice? Would you declare me guilty to justify yourself? And he says, adorn yourself with majesty and splendor. Verse 10, and clothe yourself with honor and glory. Pour out your raging anger. Look on every proud person and humiliate him. Look on every proud person and humble him. Trample the wicked where they stand. Hide them together in the dust. Imprison them in the grave. Then I will confess to you that your own right hand can deliver you. He's like, do that and I'll give you props. But until that moment, Job, just answer me if you can. He starts talking about the Leviathan. I don't even know what that is. And there's opinions like that's an alligator, crocodile. I have no clue because it doesn't sound like it. It sounds much bigger. God even says something like this. It's like, can you put it on a leash and give it to your girls to play with? I'm like, oh, I can't even control my dog sometimes. Bella, she's like, we named her Bella, but she's more like Belial. I mean, she just kind of loses her mind here and there. He's like, hey, this massive sea creature, can you just put a little, you know, a little leash around its neck and give it to your girls? Hey, go play with it. Nope. Guys, he just continues to land for two more chapters, all the way 40 to 41, chapter 42, and I'll start to land the plane, verse 1. Then Job replied to the Lord. Here it is. I know that you can do anything. And maybe for some of you, that's what you need to know this morning. Maybe you need to be reminded, God, I know you can do anything. Even if this season is difficult, I know you can do anything. He says, and no plan of yours can be thwarted, can be changed, can be stopped. You asked, who is this who conceals my counsel with ignorance? Surely I spoke about things I did not understand, things too wondrous for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. When I question you, you will inform me. Now here it is. Just by a show of hands, if you don't mind, how many of you have been brought up in the church, kind of gone to church most of, if not your whole life? Anybody? Yeah, most of you? Guys, I did Christian school my whole life. I mean, from kindergarten through my master's program. But there was a point in high school when Jesus was a subject to study and the Bible was a textbook. That was it. I needed to get the grade so I get to the right college, because I get to the right college, then I get the right job, I get the right job, I get the right girl, I get the right girl, then I get this perfect little life. And if I screw up, it's all messed up, I'll be a hermit the rest of my life. All this pressure. And then God ravaged me, God changed me. For my senior year, when I went to camp, I surrendered everything to the Lord. All of a sudden, Jesus became the one that I love. And yet I'm a recovering legalist. Anybody been there? You had God all figured out. It's all about rules, do's and don'ts, and you forgot there's grace and enjoying him. It's just do this, don't do this. If you don't read the Bible every day, you don't really love God. As a youth pastor, if a kid walked up and said, hey, I read the Bible this week, how many times? The first question, how many times? Three. I said, why not four? It was never good enough. I said, I'm just challenging him. If you didn't have a quiet time every day, I questioned whether or not you really loved God. And it always depended on what translation do you use, because if you use the wrong translation, then you must be going to hell. Like, just kind of brutal. And then God reminded me, hey, listen, Brian, real quick, you suck. Oh, yeah. Grace is rad. Grace is so much better. But when Jesus was a subject to studying the Bible, a textbook, there was no life. It was just information. And aren't we an information-driven culture now? All about, there are so many podcasts about everything, and a lot of them fight each other, and now you don't know what to believe. Here's where I think it might speak to some of you. I had heard reports about you, but now my eyes have seen you. I had heard about you, but now I've seen you for myself. Friends, I believe that's the whole purpose for everything that Job went through. I think the whole purpose of all this adversity was to get him to the place where he goes, okay, not only have I heard about you, but now I've personally experienced you for myself. And his response, what was it? Therefore, I reject my words and am sorry for them. I am dust and ashes. Some of you may have a translation that says, I repent. I turn from this attitude and I turn to you. To repent means I'm just turning, like making a 180, making a U-turn. It says, therefore, I repent in dust and ashes. I reject my words and am sorry for them. I am dust and ashes. I am nothing before you, Lord. He gets back to the place of submission to God. We don't like the word submission, friends. I love being submitted to the Lord. I love being his and him being mine. I love that he takes care of me. I need him, friends. He's not just someone I lean on. He's the cot that I fall on. I can't do anything without him. And friends, that's how he wants it. When he says, you can do nothing apart from me, you can do nothing. I sit and go, oh, thank you, God. Holy Spirit, thank you that you call yourself the helper. That's why I think Job went through what he went through. Friends, it wasn't just this little competition between God and Satan. Think about it. God used Satan to bring Job into an awareness and a more intimate relationship with God than ever before. God is so good at what he does. So if you're in it, hang in there. And if you don't see the good in it yet, it's because he's not done with it yet. Can I pray for us? Let me pray. God, we give you thanks for today. We give you thanks that in all things you are trustworthy and good. And I thank you, God, for the times that you have called me to the mat and you have asked these types of questions and you have confronted me honestly. I thank you that you still do. I think you'll convict me. And I'm so thankful, God, that you remind me often of your greatness. And I'm thankful that your greatness brings me peace. I thank you that you're for us and not against us. And I pray, God, for each person here, that they would be attentive to what it is that you're doing when you're confronting, that they would realize that you're doing it out of love and care and concern to draw them to yourself. God, we love you. For those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus and who do love you, we love you. We declare that again and we thank you. That even when it doesn't make sense, or even when we're hurting most, you're present, you'll bring us through it, you promise it, and you're doing a greater work than we can ever expect. Holy Spirit, thank you for the work you're continuing to do, changing us, challenging us, convicting us, and encouraging us. And thank you, God, for the gift of play. That will happen today, and it's an honor to you. God, thank you for a time that we could gather together. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone who agrees says, amen. Love you more than you know.